Okay, recording is going. We're set. All right. So welcome. We are diving in today to part two of our creating awareness module. Last week or last session, we looked at reflecting hard truths. And today we're going to go deep into the important skill of acknowledging. And there's a lot more to acknowledging than meets the eye if you're going to do it masterfully and if you're going to do it sacred depth style. So we're gonna get into all of the pieces and the layers of that. But first, a couple of housekeeping pieces, and then a little bit of like circling back to last week or some other little pieces that are important. So first of all, just on the housekeeping end of things, I wanted to remind you that we have a bonus Q&A call this Thursday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, totally optional. But if you want to be there, I hope that you can be there. I will be there to answer any questions that you have as it relates to what's coming up in the program, as it relates, if you've got certain client cases that you want to bring as a client case study for us to take a look at, you're not sure how to go or thinking you could have done something differently. That's a great thing to bring to the Q&A call. If you want to take a look at what's going on in a group program or a group that you're preparing, curriculum, if you want to bring any business pieces as well or inner pieces to look at. So all is welcome there. It will be recorded if you want to be there, but you can't make it. So I hope to see many of you there and to hear your voices. The other piece I wanted to mention, and thank you, Raka. I don't know if you're here today yet, Raka, but if you are, yeah, you are. Thank you for bringing up the issue about the Zoom chat in our Facebook group. Let's talk about that for a moment. So, first, I should say I am new to Zoom. I resisted Zoom forever and ever until a couple of months ago, mainly because I don't like to see myself on video, just being honest. And also mainly because I don't like to brush my hair every day, just being honest. I am, in general, an early adopter of radical ideas and a late adopter of anything technology. I am a dinosaur when it comes to that. So I'm sharing all of this to say that I'm actually still myself getting used to what it means to hold space and facilitate on Zoom with all the different pieces that it entails, including the chat. And I want to share that there are times that I love the chat. I think it's useful for so many things, and I think it's a great tool, and I want to continue to use it as a tool. And I also want to share that for me personally, sometimes the chat is too much. From the facilitator point of view, I'll just share, it's like there's a lot going on, and I want to be fully present to what I'm sharing and to what you're sharing. So unless I say share in the chat, there's a very good chance that I'm not going to catch it until after our call because I'm holding the space and I'm being present. I find sometimes, again, it's a great tool. And I also find that it can be a distraction. And I know that Raka was sharing that she finds it a distraction as well. I did not know until this week that there are times that as the facilitator, I can actually turn the chat off. I haven't learned how to do that yet, though. I will over this next week. So here's what I want to say for us, similar to in our practicum, where I said, now is a moment where we're not going to use chat. As we move through our time together, there are going to be moments for chat. And then there are going to be moments where I'm going to say, like, you know what? Now is not a great time for chat. Let's just stay fully focused in this one way. And I'll ask questions sometimes and say, please share in the chat. But if I don't, let's share voice to voice. Now, that being said, I also know that for some of you, it's easier to share in the chat than to raise your hand and have your voice heard that way. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to keep on sharing in the ways that you are, and also to see if you can stretch yourself to come voice to voice sometimes too. Any cues or thoughts or ideas on that? Sharon.
Yeah, thank you for all of that. And I just wanted to say, because it is kind of funny that of all the things you can do on Zoom as a participant, you can't turn off the chat. But what might make it less distracting for most people is, like Elijah just posted something about not being able to be on the Q&A call, and neither can I. I could have messaged her, I could have chatted privately to her, and then everyone wouldn't see the little pop-up window. So another possibility is, if you feel really, like if I really feel like I need to say something to Linda or to Elijah, I can just chat to them.
Yeah, personally. You can either have the chat go to everyone or person by person. Thank you for, yes, that's a great idea as well. Kim.
I'm just curious if there is a way to capture the chat on the recordings or to see it. And I haven't figured that out yet for myself. Also, even it goes so fast sometimes while we're in session, it really divides. So I don't even know if I can copy and paste it somewhere while we're in session. I happen to know the answer to those things.
My team has told me like 3 times how to download the chat at the end of a session, and I still haven't retained it because I'm a technological dummy. But I'm going to make a note and ask Sarah to post those instructions.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's very simple. If you open the chat window at the bottom, there are 3 dots. If you click on those 3 dots, it says save chat, and it will save it to a text file on your computer.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. And I'll also make sure that we post those in the Facebook group too, those instructions, so that you all have that. Okay. We're all learning together.
I'm not sure that works with all platforms. I'm on an iPad and it doesn't appear to be there. So I'm just curious. It may be different based on platform.
Okay. I'll ask my team if it's different on iPad. If not, there may be some other solutions. I don't know, but I'll find out. Maya.
Hi, sorry, I'm hiding today. I have no face. Just wanted to chime in to say there is a positive to the chat, I feel like. And I am somebody who is A, a foreigner, B, a very slow typist. So it's actually hard for me to keep track. But when somebody is speaking or sharing voice to voice and people chime in and support, I find it very reassuring and lovely.
I could not agree more. And that's what I was saying. I am still learning, and I'm looking for, we can continue this conversation, ways to use the technology in its best while kind of letting go of the things that don't serve and really making it work for our best learning and all of our nervous systems as much as we can, Thank you. All right, I'll take one more share on this. And then we can also move, we have a lot to look at today. So we can also continue to look at this together and also move this conversation to Facebook. Nima.
So I've been in your shoes, Joanna, new to Zoom. I just wanted to give permission to everyone. You can Google how to save the chat yourself. Like if you have a different, if you're on your phone or your computer. And that way that would take one less thing off of Joanna to do. And like, I wouldn't necessarily want the chat sent to me. So I think maybe feel just an idea to feel more self-empowered to look it up. And then I totally agreed with what Maya said. It can be this like great place to give support to each other. And then also there's this also balance though of like, if people are having a side chat while someone is presenting, I almost feel like part of it is like, it's mentally distracting. And then it's also this like little bit of disrespectful. And so one way that I, and this is just an idea, throwing it out there, but it's like common humanity. Like, is what are you sharing? Is that just like a random thought you're having? Is that going to benefit the whole group? Or like, how can you phrase your question? Like that idea of like having the chat open so we feel like we have that place to express ourselves without being kind of shut down, but then also just not brain dumping in the chat, because then the good of the group, you know, would be like the goal. And I think everyone here is so thoughtful, but that was just to say it's happened in spaces I've led and been in, and yeah, it's also just part of what's happening. So
we're all multi, like, yeah, our vortexes are trying to do what they weren't designed to do. Yeah, and I agree. I feel like this, everyone in this circle is, you know, just so respectful and all of that, and also it can be a lot. So I will try to moderate and facilitate more on the chat, but give me some grace on it, because again, it is new for me.
Yeah. And even I can't, it's challenging for me to, when I do presentations, I have someone else like lead the chat for questions. I'm like, I'm just not going to look at that until the set time. So I just want to say, I hear you. It's not that you're a dummy. When I heard you say you're a dummy, I'm like, no, no.
All right. Okay, great. So all that being said, let's jump in. So before we look at acknowledging, there were two pieces that I wanted to look at briefly today that are valuable, that are related to creating awareness and related to reflecting the truth. So the first is, I mentioned briefly in our last session, you know, one form of reflecting the truth, this isn't reflecting a hard truth, just reflecting the truth, is when we act as consultants. I like to call it facting. You know, when I have a piece of information or an expertise that a client doesn't have, and one of the reasons why they've hired me is because of that expertise. And through our work together, there are going to be moments where it's my job to share, to create that awareness for them, to share that information with them. You know, for example, if I'm working with somebody in their marketing, you know, there are certain things that I may know about marketing that they don't know. And that's one of the reasons why they've hired me, as an example. That being said, I usually get the question every cycle. I usually get this question around this time. What do you do if a client asks you as the practitioner what you think about a situation, but it's not a facting situation? It's not because you've got the expertise and they haven't. It's more because they really want your opinion on something. So I wanted to kind of, just for a short discussion, put that out for all of you and hear your thoughts on that. What do you do if your client asks you, well, what do you think about this? Or just, you know, I've been there before. Just tell me what you think. Just tell me what I should do, right? What are some thoughts on that, on what's appropriate, on what would be in, and of course, every situation is different, right? So I'm asking a general question, but always coach the what based on the who and, you know, all of that. But in general, what are some thoughts on that? Wendy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. So what has worked for me in an informal manner is, of course, I recognize that the client or the person we're talking with always has the answer within them. Sometimes they, you know, maybe they don't recognize it, or they don't want to know the answer, or it's a whole new path for them. So when I'm asked that, what I'll do is I'll throw out scenarios for them, and maybe it will spark their ability to look at it from a different angle. So for example, it might be, well, you know, if you were to look at it this way and you went this route, and on the other hand, if you went this route, or kind of that situation of offering different perspectives rather than my actual opinion, because my opinion doesn't matter. It's not my life, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, beautiful. So what I'm hearing, tell me if I'm getting this right, is that sometimes when a client asks you that, instead of telling them this is what I think, you more sort of lay out the different choices in front of them. You create awareness that way. I see that this is possible. And if this happens, this might be the outcome. And if this happens, it may look like that. And then follow up with some questions from there. Beautiful. Thanks. Who else? Elijah.
Yeah, thank you. So to just acknowledge what you already said, it does depend on the situation and the client, but a general way in which I handle that is I first acknowledge, for example, I might say something like, I just want to acknowledge that, yeah, this feels like a really tough decision, or this feels like a really challenging situation, or whatever is going on. And then, I know that I have found myself, because if I know a client and I have deep rapport with them, I might say, I would like to share with you intuitively what's coming up for me, intuitively and energetically. So that's like language that I use. And then I will share like what I feel underneath what's going on for them. And I will say, I don't know if this is going to land. It's okay if it doesn't land. But I want to share with you what I'm feeling intuitively and energetically around this. And so I share that in that sense. But then often when I do that, first like acknowledge and then share, it frees them up to come to their own awareness, is what I've experienced.
Yeah, beautiful. So it sounds like, and I may not be hearing this correctly, tell me if I am. You're not necessarily telling them what to do, but you're sharing with them intuitively what you're seeing in the situation.
Yes.
And then that's from exactly there, it lands or it doesn't, it sparks mm-hmm. something and you mm-hmm.
like, I might share something that I know to like intuitive. Well, I know about you. This is something that's really important. I'm not hearing you say this. So I want to remind you, like, you know, again, that's like based on what my rapport is with them. Like early on when I'm first getting to know a client, it's going to be different from when I've been working with them for a long time.
Yeah.
So
beautiful. Thank you. Lisa's asking, what's the question we're exploring? So Lisa, the question is, what do you do when a client says, you know, just tell me what you think. I just want to know what you think. Tell me, or tell me what to do. Stephanie.
Similar to Elijah, just really acknowledging the challenge for the client is where I start. And then I try to ask or sort of get at, like, what is your gut telling you? Or what is your heart telling you? And sort of shift from all up in the head to kind of heart space, gut space. And that has been successful in sort of making a shift. And I mean, I think depending on the type of relationship that we have, I'm going to take off my coaching hat and share an observation or a perspective, or I might say, I'm going to take off my coaching hat, and if it's okay with you, share, you know, what I have seen work with other clients, or what I have seen, you know, has supported other clients, or what I've seen has been supportive for myself, but really holding the space for them to, you know, either agree or disagree, or, you know, not being attached, I guess, to that
Yeah, answer. Similar to what we looked at last week is, you know, being willing to be wrong or not landing. Beautiful. And I love this idea of shifting from the head to the heart as well, right? It's such a great tactic for supporting a client and connecting more to what they already know. Nima.
I really love this question because I think I just do it following my gut, but I think the first thing that I do, and I would be really curious to hear, I'm excited to learn about this, but as I think I name my filter. I'm like, I am one Native woman. This is my perspective on this topic. And usually the topics that I'm coaching about are either like nervous system regulation. So it is factual, or it's like anti-racism, which is really about preventing harm. And then, so I feel like I name that and then I give my opinion, just really like, this is what I think should happen. Or, and then I say, what do you think about it? Like to be, but I, something I'm learning new, just what Stephanie said, is not to be attached to the outcome. Mm-hmm. Cause that was something that was really draining my energy a lot. But then the other thing I've done, and I don't know if this is appropriate, is I would say like, why are you asking me that? Like, what is sticky for you in this? Cause it's very clear to me, you like, where's the stickiness for you? I might say it in a nicer way, but you know, like, so I don't know. I'm curious to learn more about how to do this with intention. So thanks for the question.
Yeah. And I love all that you shared. I love everything that everyone shared. And there isn't one way, right? So yes, big yes to what everybody shared, because every situation is different. And, you know, like it also has to do, I think, with your style as a practitioner. So much wisdom already shared. There are some trainings that are going to tell you never give your opinion, never share what you think. That's not your place. That's not, and you get to decide for your own on that. I'll just share that that's not my personal style. Some of that is because I really believe that we as human beings aren't supposed to source all of our validation from ourselves. Sometimes we actually do need somebody else to say, that's a really good idea. You know, that sounds amazing to me, or I love the blah, 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 right? So, you know, but there are times for both. I think that it's appropriate in certain situations. Like I said, you know, when a client does need that outside validation, not as a replacement for their own validation, inner validation, but as that extra support. We all need that as human beings sometimes. Sometimes a client, just there's something in their blind spot and, you know, some questions just aren't going to get at it. And similar to what so many of you said, you know, when I do answer the question, I do it with all of the foundational principles of creating awareness that we've already looked at, you know, that I'm not the guru, that my opinion isn't the end all be all, that I've got filters in it, you know, all of that. In addition to just all of the great things that were shared, and I learned some things myself. You know, sometimes I will just go ahead and answer. Sometimes, you know, as Nima said, I may ask first, like, why is it important to get my opinion? Or how will my opinion help? Or, you know, speaking to the filters, like, about to share something, but this is going to be my truth. It may not be your truth. Right. So how will you use what I share? So sometimes I'll ask some questions first as well. Or sometimes I may say, you know, I will tell you in a few minutes, but first, right. And then we'll get to some deeper questions. So it's just, I think it's a valuable question for us all to, you know, to be thinking about? When is it appropriate to share our opinions, when a client asks and when not? The other piece before we get to acknowledging that I wanted us to look at is, you know, last session, we looked at a lot of the, you know, reflecting harder truths. We got that out of the way, the harder truths. But there is another type of reflecting. We can call it, you know, just simple reflecting or simple creating awareness. It's reflecting truths that are not so hard for the client to receive, right? So examples of that can be, I hear that you're ready for a new way of showing up with your team, right? You've just listened and you're making this reflection. I hear that you're ready for a new way of showing up with your team. Or sounds like your heart isn't in it. I'm going to give, obviously these are, you know, it's not exhaustive, these examples, there can be millions, right? But just to give you some flavors of things. Or a reflection could be, it almost sounds as if you're bored with that. Or if I heard correctly, it sounds like you're done with being a doormat. Here's another nice way of reflecting. As I was listening to what you were sharing, I got the image of a bird flying free. Sometimes using, I'm a very visual person, a client will be talking and I'll get an image, right? So sharing that image is a way of creating awareness for them. Another example, feels like you're bringing heaviness to that conversation that you want to have with your sister. Or I got so excited when you were talking about that new program idea. Or I have a hunch that there's a deeper layer here that you haven't yet tapped, right? So it can run the gamut on different things. That's just simple reflecting. As a part of that, kind of like a subset, sometimes a client will have a lot to share on a particular topic, either because they're excited about it or there's a lot of details that are actually important for them to share. And sometimes, you know, a client will share quite a bit at once because it all goes together. Or, so what I'm about to share with you next is what I do if a client has just shared a lot all at once, or if they've just shared something significant, but they keep on going on. They're like shared something really big and then they're going on. So in either of those scenarios, they've either just shared a whole lot or they've just shared something significant and haven't paused. I'll say, let's pause here for a moment. I want to share with you what I'm hearing. I want to make sure I'm getting it right. Or I just want to share with you what I'm hearing. And then I'll reflect back. Either I'll reflect back that significant thing to pause, to underscore it, to bring space to it, to bring more gravitas to it. Or if it was like a long share with a lot of details, I'll reflect back the important threads or pieces that I'm hearing and ask if I'm getting that right. So whether we're doing simple reflecting or we're pausing and, you know, sharing, this is what I heard, really all of creating awareness, in a sense, what we're doing is mirroring. We're mirroring our client. I do that a lot also as all of you share, and then I reflect back when you share. Mirroring, and I'm not a scientist, so anyone that wants to add to, if I botch any part of it up or there's an important piece that I miss, please let us know. But mirroring is one of those things that is important really from the moment that we're born. So some of you may know that when we're born, and even when we're adults, we have what's called mirror neurons inside of us. And a lot of research has been done to show that when you're with a baby, if the baby smiles, smile back at them. If the baby grimaces, mirror them, grimace back at them. If the baby makes a certain kind of howl or noise or shriek, a lot of times mirror that sound back to them. What the mirroring does is their mirroring neurons pick up on it and they get validation in themselves, which allows them to create, you know, their own healthy containers and sense of own self-validation and sense of self in the world. Well, babies aren't the only human beings that need that. Adults need some of that as well, right? So it can be so, so powerful to, in different ways, to do this mirroring. And in fact, I'll just share this quickly. There have been studies done on sales processes. And what researchers have found is that salespeople that mirror their prospect's language and that mirror their prospect's body language. So if like you're sitting across from someone and in a sales conversation, you're selling a car, whatever it is, and the prospect leans back, really good salespeople will lean back. And if the prospect crosses their arm, the salesperson will cross their arm. That mirroring, there's higher conversion into sales when there's mirroring of language, of energy, and of body language. All right, let me pause there for a moment before we move into acknowledging. Any thoughts, ideas, questions, reflections on simple reflecting, creating awareness, or pausing and reflecting back, or mirroring? Linda.
Yeah, so the one thing that I know that I would have aversion to is every single time saying, I'm not sure if I got this right, particularly if it's a client that I've been working with, yeah, and we set up the container and the first times, and maybe if it's a really, really sensitive moment, then maybe say real time, but otherwise I wouldn't do it.
And don't, absolutely. I don't do it all the time either. I probably do it more than you, but your style, you get to do it your way, so long as you're aware of the principles and what you want to use when.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Anything else on this before we move on? Okay. All right, so acknowledging is another form of creating awareness. And you know, some of this is semantics, because so much of what we've already looked at with creating awareness is acknowledging. Just for the sake of our learning, kind of putting acknowledging in its own category. And we're gonna look at two different types of acknowledging today. We're going to look at what I call honoring what is as a form of acknowledgement, and celebrating as a form of acknowledgement. So let's look at honoring what is first. So honoring what is a way of creating awareness by honoring and acknowledging the things that aren't so great, the things that aren't so savory, excuse my language, but the things that are kind of shitty, all of that. there has been a tendency in the transformational industry and in the coaching industry to do a lot of love and lighting, and not knocking that. There are absolutely moments for love and lighting. We're going to be talking about celebrating in a little bit. But in my opinion, what's happened is that there's been so much of a focus on just like what's positive and what's great and all of that, not just in the industry, like in our culture, patriarchal culture, really, that what oftentimes happens is we bypass, and when we bypass, we dishonor the things that aren't so savory, the things that are messy, the things that are painful, the things that aren't, you know, the shadows, the not so great experiences. When we bypass, our clients feel bypassed, right? If we're just always looking at the positive and it's not so bad, or, you know, like all of that, we think we're supporting, but really what we're doing is not seeing and hearing our clients. When we can honor what is from a place of strength and empowerment, our clients get to feel seen and heard, and some other things, which I'll get to in a moment. But let me first explain a little bit more about what this is. So when we honor, well, let me give you some examples of honoring what is. I'll give some language in a moment, but it's basically times when we acknowledge that a client has a right to feel the way that they're feeling about a situation, or a client is validated in how they feel or what they're experiencing. Or it helps a client know that they're not strange or abnormal for struggling in something or feeling the way that they do. When we honor what is, it can support a client to become aware of or connect more deeply with what they're really feeling or experiencing, because they may have been bypassing themselves or love and lighting themselves. When we do this, it supports a client to accept themselves, their situations more, to feel more nourished, to trust themselves. So here's just some examples, but again, there are millions depending on situation and on client. So you're saying something, a client is telling you about something really rough that happened and saying, or you know, that really frustrated them, and saying, that must have been really frustrating, right? Just honoring what is. Or that sounds really tough, right? Just honoring what is. I know you worked hard on that, and it makes perfect sense that you're disappointed. Honoring what is. I totally get why you'd be so angry about that. Honoring what is. I'm so sorry to hear that. Here's an example just from a call I had with a client earlier today. She was telling me about a lot of pain that, or pain and struggle that she was in with her teenage daughter, and some things that she was doing, some incredible things that she was doing around it. And I paused and I said to her, you're willing to be in discomfort for the sake of your daughter and your relationship with her, right? Just honoring that discomfort. Here's some more examples. I feel your sadness with you. Or it can be so painful when we have an employer who never acknowledges our strengths. Honoring what is can be acknowledging like how a lot a moment is right now. Right now is a moment where you have a lot on your plate, maybe even too much. Once I was facilitating a retreat, and a woman had just shared about her difficult conversation with her mother, and she was really contemplating setting boundaries, but it was so clear that it was so hard to set those boundaries. She didn't outright say it, right? This is part of what acknowledging can do, is when you say what's between the lines. She didn't outright say it, but her trouble setting the boundaries was because there was also so much love there. I just paused, I created a moment of space, and I looked straight at her and I said, "You love your mother so much," right? Just honoring what is. Sounds like you held your composure in a really tough situation, right? So, you know, I can go on and on, but again, the honoring what is really the holding space, the creating awareness and acknowledging the things that are not so great. So again, when we can honor what is, our clients feel seen, heard, and loved. They usually feel a deeper connection to us as the practitioner when we honor what is. It opens up for more vulnerability, more willingness to have a breakthrough if they're ready for one. Honoring what is allows a client to see that thing, to process it, to deal with it, and take actions if need be. When we honor what is, our clients can, it supports our clients to acknowledge and honor their own experiences and feelings, something we don't do enough, most of us as a people. So when energy follows energy, right? When we can honor what is, our client, it supports our client to honor themselves and their experiences and their life. And I just can't tell you, I mean, more times than not, when I've done this, I'll speak from my own experience, it's like the client takes a deep sigh of relief. As I said, it's a tool that helps us not bypass our clients. So when we honor what is, one thing that we're doing is having empowered compassion for our clients. We're having empowered compassion. And I put that phrase together very purposefully because the most effective type of honoring what is when we as the practitioner are holding both the honoring, like the honoring the shitty thing while also holding and seeing our client in their strength. That makes sense? Versus pitying them or seeing a pathology or wounding without strength. When we honor what is, it's like we want to hold both. We want to see them in their vulnerability and, you know, honor the thing that sucks while also being so clear that they are whole and complete and resourceful and incredible. And so, like, this whole discussion reminds me of something that I read early on. I wish I could tell you where I found this. Just this little quote. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. I'll drop that in the chat. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. I just love that so much. All right, a couple more pieces about this, and then we'll open up for reflections, questions, thoughts. So you know, we've already started to talk about how to honor what is, right? So energetics are key to everything we look at. Energetics always first, right? So in terms of our energetics, when we go to honor what is, you know, some of the things you want to think about as a practitioner is, are you comfortable with holding space for another person's pain or grief or disappointment or anger? What about that might scare or trigger you? And I'm not asking you to journal on these right now. I'm kind of putting them out there. I'll put them in the chat too. And I think you have them in your resource sheets, but just, you know, some little impressions just for right now. Are you usually a love and lighter? When is that helpful? When is that not helpful? This is one actually I want us to pause on for a moment. Take a moment and close your eyes. See if you can drop in and see what it feels like in your body to hold space for the not so great while also honoring. So you can even, let's get more specific here. Think about something that's in your own life that you is kind of shitty or not so great, not so savory, a place where you're struggling. What does it feel like to honor that while also holding space for your strength and for your wholeness? So notice what that feels like in your body, if you can drop in. Holding both. That's the energy we want to lead with when we honor what is with our clients. Okay, so let me pause here. I'd love to hear what you're seeing, what you're learning, what's coming together for you, what questions you have on honoring what is. Linda's asking, what's a love and lighter? Only seeing all summer, no winter. Like, we only need to think positive. It's all good. Like, bypassing anything that isn't so savory. Yeah. What are you guys seeing, or what questions do you have? What's coming together? Catherine.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
What's surprising to me is how much emotion has come up in this conversation, and acknowledging what's so and what is, even having this conversation feels so honoring, as like, I don't have a lot that's, you know, quote up right now, but we've all been through, you know, even this last year, what's happening in the world, there's grief. And so I just feel so honored having this conversation. And I would like to hear more about what you were saying about, I forgot how you said it, but honoring what's so, like, something we are having in our life. You know, I thought about my relationship with my mother-in-law is really challenging for me. And when you asked us to distinguish between, you know, honoring what's there and being empowered ourselves, like, I had a little like disconnect. I realized my whole body has gotten into that story I've had with her. And so I would like to hear a little bit more about holding those two spaces at once.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a great question. I'm gonna kind of put the question back on you. What does it feel like? Let's try this, we'll see. What does it feel like to honor that there's a lot of struggle there? Or let me ask you this before I ask this question. What is it about the struggle that has you disconnecting from your strength and your resources?
I think, I mean, the first thing that popped in my head was the need to be right. And so I think like I justify and I, there's been a, an identification with as opposed to an observer of in that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the strength that you actually have that you, you may be disconnecting from in those situations?
I actually do have a strength where I can let people be. I get feedback all the time that people feel like they can just be themselves with me and say anything. And I do not give her that grace.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So take a moment and close your eyes and just connect in. You can even put a hand on your heart if that feels right. And honor how hard this struggle is with your mother-in-law. Like, it sounds really hard, right? So take a moment and honor that while also honoring that you have all the resources you need to move through this struggle, even when it's hard. Can you feel that a little? Yeah. Just describe that feeling, Catherine.
What I feel is that I become bigger than it and almost like I like curl up around it, like I'm spooning it. That sounds strange, but it's kind of like instead of becoming it, I can just honor that as this little thing. Yeah.
Beautiful. So play with that and play with that energy for yourself and then also how that relates to clients. Chelsea.
Thank you.
I love this conversation, and I like put so many stars and like circles around this idea of the both and realizing that I think this is one of my strengths. And as I'm talking, I'm looking at this thing that I created that's like literally a physical example of this. So I wrote a book that honored my mom's, one of her last requests before she died 5 years ago, which was to turn some of her writing at the end of her life as during her struggle with cancer into a book and to publish it. And I was able to do that, like, and weave in my own writing and like turn it into a testament to who she was and do it in a way that is both like honoring how hard that was of an experience and also like seeing the wisdom and the opportunity to like share more widely. And so I'm like in this is so timely because I'm in this space this week of like honoring that this has been like a huge achievement for me to like create a book and like put it out into the world. And also that it's like so like vulnerable and hard and like full of grief at the same time. And so I'm just like sitting here like totally in all of my own both andness of this very specific situation and also able to see that like this now becomes, because I've lived it for myself, it becomes like a gift that I can share with my clients and with other people. So just really timely. And I'm really appreciative of you creating that awareness for me just now and learning about it.
Beautiful. So well done. So exciting about your book.
Thank you.
Nima.
Thanks for letting me share again. I'm talking a lot today. I loved this. I also took a lot of notes with lots of stars, and I love empowered compassion. And the thing I thought to share was that a few weeks ago, I was working with someone and was spiritually bypassed, and it was around identity, and it was really painful. And I think it still hurts a few weeks later. So I just also wanted to say that if we don't do this, you can hurt people. And I feel really grounded in myself, in my identity. So it was kind of interesting to notice that being spiritually bypassed in that area was so painful. But I just wanted to add that too, that being spiritually bypassed is no fun, and we don't want to do that to our clients. And I just love the idea of empowering them. So thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Yeah. Bessica.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you for letting me share. This, what you just shared was, so I do this all the time for everyone else. It's what, it is one of my gifts. It's naturally my gift. But when you just shared what you shared and I did it, what happened was so profound because I did it for myself for the first time.
Yeah, chills when you say that.
And I'm sorry.
No apologies necessary.
For me, that one thing just completely transformed this experience with myself, where sometimes I've had the experience where I'm always wanting to make sure that everything I'm doing is perfect, you know, that myth of perfection. And that I can't do the things sometimes I'm called to do because I feel like that I got to grow a little bit more. I got to make sure that I'm doing everything right or that everything is in alignment. And in that moment, I was able to see my greatness and hold my challenge at the same time in a way that is something that I do with breath work. Like this is a titration, kind of like holding the pain and the gift at the same time. But I did it and I felt this whole body experience. So I just wanted to share with you, it's a whole, it wasn't like it just a visual. It was like an experience that shifted. It's shifting my cells in my body right now. So thank you.
You're so welcome. So beautifully done. And I'm so excited to see what's going to come of this. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks to everyone. Good stuff. All right. Well, we're going to move on. But of course, learning is cyclical, not linear. We'll circle back too. So I mentioned there are two ways of acknowledging, or two types of acknowledging. The second, so there's honoring what is, and then the second is celebrating. Really important too. Celebrating, cheering on is a version of it, a little bit different than celebrating, championing, having gratitude. So I believe that just like honoring what is one of the, you know, most important things that we can do. That's celebrating, supporting our clients to celebrate themselves really is one of the most important skills that we can have. It is such a vital part of a transformational process, goal reaching process, solution finding process. It's a big part of my own coaching practice, my own personal practice as well. You can support your, celebrate your clients as well as support them to celebrate themselves, because really that's what this is, right? Remember, this is under creating awareness, right? We want to create awareness for folks, for our clients around their wins, right? Big or small, inner or outer. We want to create awareness by celebrating amazing things, just wonderful things that happen, either because they have caused those things to happen or because they've just happened. It's still a celebration. We want to celebrate forward movement, even baby steps. We want to celebrate our clients and create awareness around our clients' resources, around their skills, around their talents, around their brilliances. We want to celebrate, create awareness around that. The gold, the gold in the middle of the crap, right? After we've honored the crap, we can move on to celebrating the gold in it. We want to create awareness, even like when a client has, they haven't even done the thing yet, but they've made the decision, right? To go and do something stretchy. That is a moment to create awareness too, right? Because that's, that they're growing. We want to create awareness there. So why do we want to celebrate, create awareness around celebrations, acknowledge celebrations? Well, because a lot of the time, growth and success and successful actions, aligned actions, stem from being aware of what's working and what's going well. Not from where most of us operate, which is focusing on all the things that suck. Not in honoring the things that suck, but being obsessed with them. Right. So much of the time, growth and forward movement happen from focusing on what's working and what's going well, as opposed to being judgmentally obsessed with what's not going well. And when we are able to support, create awareness for our clients around their celebrations, it supports them in having more confidence, more self-love, more self-satisfaction, more hope, more self-compassion, and of course, in feeling seen and heard and loved. It's actually similar to the things that honoring what is does. And what I've really come to see over the years, or what I believe, and you can check this out for yourself, is that I feel like it's my job as a practitioner to not only celebrate my clients, like when this happens or that happens or on that thing or this thing, but a bigger job of mine is through all of that to actually support clients to internalize that and to learn how to celebrate and acknowledge themselves. So it's not only in support of the goal that we're working on, but it's literally in support of the learning of the skill of celebrating yourself. I'm pausing on that because I think it's a biggie. Such a gift we can give or create with a client to help them learn how to celebrate themselves more, how to also learn how to honor what is more for themselves as a muscle that they have internally. Okay, so let me pause here because I feel like I saw some stuff in the chat. Oh, okay. Thank you for answering. Anika's asking, so we honor the crap first, then we celebrate the gifts. Not a great question, Anika. not always. You know, every situation is different, every who is different, but we don't want to bypass like honoring what needs to be honored first before looking at the learnings or celebrating. Like the worst thing is, you know, like a client tells you something crappy that happens and then you just jump to like, what's the learning here? What's the gold in this? You know, without honoring first. I see that there are some hands raised. I'm gonna get there. I wanna just get through one more piece and then I'll come to questions, reflections. Okay, so here's the thing about celebrating. Sounds good, right? I heard something awesome my client just did, or I see a great talent in my client and I'm just gonna create awareness around it. I'm just gonna reflect it. I'm gonna acknowledge it. It's gonna be great. But there's sometimes more to that story because people have trouble celebrating themselves. People have trouble celebrating themselves. It is not always like, yay, right? That they're just so ready and eager to accept a celebration. And again, that's exactly why it's such an important coaching skill and why we want to support clients to build that muscle. I have found even with some clients that have drank the Kool-Aid, they have sold their own personal celebration practices. Every now and again, they have trouble really taking in the goodness. They have trouble taking in the goodness. So as practitioners, we want to understand a little bit more about this, because if we don't kind of understand the human behavior on taking in celebrations, if a client really does have a lot of blocks to celebrating themselves, and we just kind of like hurl it at them, we run the risk of shutting the client down or angering them or having them lose trust in us because they think it's BS. Or having them listen, you know, silently agree, but not really take it in deeply. Like maybe they get it on the head level, but not deeper than that. All right, so why do people have trouble celebrating or celebrating sometimes? Well, there are a number of different reasons why. I just named some that I've seen. Number one, because as I said earlier, we tend to focus on the negative and on what isn't working. We really want to look there. Somehow we think it's a survival mechanism. Like we think things are going to be better if we could just like get to the bottom of the negative. You know, we focus on the negative. It's going to save us, right? It's a protection thing. For some people, they get, for lack of a better word, very scientific word I'm about to use, they get an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged, right? It's like, don't see me, it's not true. Or if you believe this now, then you're gonna see that I'm not really that, then you're gonna know that I'm a fraud or it's not gonna happen again, right? It's like this icky, like, I mean, I certainly, that is something that I experience sometimes of like, nope, that's not me, don't, right? Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because we don't want to set ourselves up to be hopeful and then fail. This is a very Jewish thing. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because we're taught that it's obnoxious and too ego, whatever, to think highly of ourselves and celebrate our accomplishments. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because of the evil eye. Don't say it. If you say it, it's all going to fall apart. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they just don't really think that the thing is that good. They don't realize that it's something to celebrate. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they've never really learned how to receive. We'll look at that one later on in the program in more detail, but we haven't learned how to receive, it's hard to receive a compliment. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because of patriarchal culture telling us that we just have to keep on doing more and doing more and doing more. There's no time or space where we get to just pause and harvest and take in the goodness. So those are just some, right? So let's look a little bit more deeply here. Because to be able to truly celebrate someone else, to be able to truly celebrate our clients and have it be effective, we want to be working on our own comfort level around celebrating others and also celebrating ourselves. Ask a couple of questions for our class today, and then I'll give you a whole bunch for homework, but just to kind of get us started in this inquiry. How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? And I'll pop that cue into the chat as well. Give you a minute on that one. Take another moment with that. Next question. When you were celebrated, what was the motivation? So what I mean is, when you were celebrated, what was it because the person was being truly supportive of you? Or was it to pretend that everything was okay when it really wasn't? I call that blowing sunshine up your ass. Or was it to pressure, were you celebrated? Was the motivation to pressure you so that you would continue to perform well? Was it to compare you to your siblings or someone else, right? So what was the, when you were celebrated, what was the motivation? I'll pop that in. We'll take one more moment with that. And then, let's see, do all these questions right now. All right, two more. How did role models or authority figures, and actually not even did, how have, so when you were younger up through the present moment, how have role models or authority figures responded to you if you celebrated yourself? What has the response been if you've celebrated yourself? Were those role models or authority figures happy when you celebrated yourselves? Did they somehow communicate to you that you were getting too big for your britches? Were they scared you might jinx yourself or something else? How have role models or authority figures responded to you if you celebrated yourself? Think on that one for a bit. All right, hopefully this is stirring some things up. You're seeing some important pieces. Let's pause here just for a couple of minutes. I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What are you seeing? What's feeling important? What are you noticing? What's clicking here for you? Solway.
Hey, this is such a good question. The thing that was showing up for me was this last question, especially what role models respond, how did they respond? At first I was like genuine happiness. And then I was like, ooh, and also this like, there were like some undertones and I was like, ooh, cautious optimism with a of worry. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I do. So it was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's, I'm so glad. It's so, so helpful for you personally. And then to know that there's some clients out there too that have that experience, right? So it's like each handling each celebration depending on the person. Good.
Totally. Thank you.
Thank you. Naomi.
I was struck by the question of how did your family of origin celebrate you? Because I felt really blessed to have been celebrated for many different things. But singing is something I was always very passionate about. And my mom was very clear. She would say to me, don't quit your day job. Like things like that would just put me down. And also when, you know, talking about wanting to publish a book of poetry, she's like, oh, you just maybe just, you know, publish it for yourself and you don't need to shop it around, like just keeping it small. And she recently shared, because I never knew where this place was coming from. She recently shared that she used to write poetry for this. She's a nurse for this nursing journal and she hasn't been writing in years. And I never knew that. She's never mentioned it. So it was really neat to just see this cycle of where she keeps, where she wants to keep me small and doesn't celebrate me is where she doesn't celebrate herself and where she holds some shame or loss. So it just felt relevant to share that. So thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing. I don't think that you're alone in that experience. And again, important just for us to see these pieces for ourselves. I ask these questions so that we see it for ourselves and also just so we understand human nature more and what may be out there for our clients as well. Beautiful. There's a lot of hands raised. I'm going to take one or two more right now, but at the end of class, because there's still one more piece, and then at the end of class, we'll come back to more if there's time. Jen.
So this was really illuminating. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Last time I couldn't be heard, so I just was making sure. It's really interesting. I in this one specifically, I just realized how many mixed messages there were and that there was well intentions and the way that it was received or delivered was very confusing. So it was not fully self-expressed in so many different ways. And there was a lot of illumination. Like the one that just hit me so deeply was, let others praise you when it's visible, but don't bring attention to yourself. And it was like, whoa, how on earth can you celebrate when there's so many, you know, conditions? And I'm sure it was meant to be in a very loving way and kind of saying, I don't want you to get hurt. And at the same token, I don't want you to be, you know, boisterous and all this kind of stuff. And it was just so, I don't know, it was just very inspiring because I felt the grace. And I also felt the depth and the love and the caution at the same time. So it was just incredible. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So glad that's coming through. It feels really big and it feels like it's ready for you to do something different with it.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Okay, I'm just looking at the time. We have just a few more minutes left today and I still have a bit to share with you. So I'm gonna share, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna share a couple of pieces right now. And then I'm also gonna share a video with you. I've run out of time in this class before. I should have learned before. So I have a video on tools specifically for clients that may have trouble celebrating or ways to support clients to take it more deeply in and not just this. So we'll save that for a supplemental video. But for now, I just want to take a look at a couple of different like when and how to celebrate pieces. So number one, I like to have a celebration question on my prep form, the form that a client fills out before our call. One of the questions is, what are you celebrating since our last session? I read through that form and a lot of times at the beginning of a session, I'll integrate it into when a client is sharing about intentions or I'll even start with it. So at the beginning of a session, I will often pull out something that I saw in the prep form and take a moment to celebrate it. Like, that was really awesome, that blah, blah, blah. Or can we just celebrate that this was the first time you didn't, you know, check email for client emails all weekend. You were able to, right? So I'll oftentimes at the beginning of a session pull something out if it feels important. Obviously, as it comes up, in sessions, I will acknowledge and celebrate. If we're starting to strategize, and we'll look at this again in our strategizing, but I'll just like drop it in now. If I'm starting to strategize a new project with a client, a new habit, a new way of being, we'll often start by acknowledging assets and resources that are going to help with that project. It's a way of celebrating, creating awareness around celebrations. This one is a little bit more amorphous, but hopefully you'll understand what I mean. So much a piece of celebrating is also just about energy and feeling. So I really pay attention to let my clients know in different ways how much I respect them, how much I honor them, how much I admire them, how inspired I am by them, and celebrate them. Not in an overly doing it way. Again, never want to blow sunshine up someone's ass, you know, because people can smell that a mile away and then they don't trust you, right? It's not about doing it to do it, but I believe, and you can check this out for yourself. We can discuss this in the Facebook group if you want, but I believe that yet another one of our jobs as practitioners is to support our clients in knowing that they are a person of value, that they are a valuable human being because, right? And so that's just baked into the entire container for me. That is baked into the energetics. Sometimes celebrating can show up. I'm not a big cheerer honor, but sometimes that might be that's just not my personal energy. But sometimes I'm like, this is the moment to cheer the client on, you know, to be their cheerleader. Everybody needs a cheerleader, right? That's why at sports games, you know, athletes just vibe off of you know, what's happening in the arena and the crowd and people cheer, like there is a psychological mechanism behind that. But again, always with honesty, never exaggerated, or else it will not be trusted. All of us have gotten like an empty compliment before, right? It's like, it doesn't feel good. You know, you know. Holding your client's vision for them when they are in a place where they are just not up to holding it for themselves, I think is a form of celebrating them and cheering them on, right? You've got this. You can do this. Here is why I know that you can do this. Here is what I've seen, right? Sometimes a simple congratulations is a powerful way of acknowledging and celebrating. Okay, so got a whole bunch of stuff again that I'll also share in a supplementary way, but we have just a little bit of time left. Let me share with you, first of all, just jot down, what are you taking away from our time together today? What is important? I know we've looked at a lot. What's really standing out for you? What are you taking away for you? And I'm gonna share homework. And then if you gotta go and but I'm gonna hang on the line. I'd love to hear takeaways, what you're seeing or any cues that you have. So you'll get some worksheets with more journaling questions, you know, to work on that. If you are working with clients, what I want to invite you to do is for each client, I want you to list out at least one or two things that you sense that client is not adequately owning inside of themselves or celebrating for themselves. So, you can do it both for the honoring what is, as well as for the celebrating, right? Go through your client roster. And then if it makes sense, bring it into your next session. As you work with your practice partner over the next couple of weeks, I want you to practice all the ways of creating awareness. So you may not get to all of them, right? But reflecting hard truths, reflecting simple truths, like we looked at today, and mirroring, honoring what is and celebrating, right? So be conscious. And then when you kind of break things down and discuss, you can see how that worked or what you might want to do differently. All right. If you want to hang on, you know, we're done. But if you want to hang on, I'd love to hear some more shares, questions. I hope that I'll see some of you in our Q&A call next week. We've got our practicum next week. Yay! We're going to practice all of this together. But I'd love to hear from a few of you. What are you seeing? What questions do you have? Dana? I know your hand was up from before, but.
Yeah, it was very similar to Jen when she shared about her experience with celebrating. And as I was journaling, I just see the mirror so much with my clients. And it's almost sometimes, not that it's hard to navigate with them, but it's because I do it so much myself. And there was so much confusion growing up where my father was so much into celebrating us, but it was almost like he would almost do it on his own. Whereas like my mother would have this, like, you know, bake everything and have a great birthday party. But once it was over and everyone left, it was like, it was a burden. Mm. It was almost like she had to clean up. It was also her birthday the day before my birthday. So it was always, that was just a new awareness. Like, wow, I've always felt guilty that I take her away and she's doing stuff for me because it's her birthday. So I feel like I have to kind of subdue my own self. And so, but other than that, with celebrating, there wasn't really any other, aside from my father with like little things, there was a lot of mother stuff there in that, like, I couldn't celebrate too much because I couldn't be happier than her.
Yeah. So big one. I'm so glad that that's coming through. That feels really big and a place for you to lean in more and look at more and journal more. And then you said it's mirroring with some of your clients. So that's a place for exploration there too. Yeah, beautifully done.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Lisa B.
Hi, I wanted to share one of my big takeaways was developing the skill both for myself and my clients to know the distinction between celebrating because I have met someone else's expectation or celebrating something authentic to me that I truly want to celebrate. Does that make sense?
100%. I get chills when you say it. I love that distinction. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. And until we had this little reflection, I didn't fully realize that, there are layers to this skill, right? You can feel like you're celebrating, but not really have it be an authentic expression of what you would really be celebrating.
Yes, 100%. Right. You always want the celebration to be something that's actually meaningful.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that forward. That's so important. I love it. I can't wait to see how you'll bring it into your client sessions. Lisa L.
I had such a huge aha that I just thought I'd share. When you were talking about how did the role models, you know, respond, you celebrated, and I actually have to laugh in my house. If you even talked about yourself, you were self-centered. If you celebrated anything, you were squashed. If you had excited about something, don't get your hopes up because it might not happen. Like, you name it, it was like punched down. And I can laugh about it now, but it sucked as a kid. But the thing that I realized, the big aha, is it sucks the joy out of so many situations. And I thought, if that's for me, it's sucking the joy out of my life, like totally with my clients too. And it just gave me a new insight into it. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. I love it. I can't wait to hear what comes from that. That feels really big. Maya.
Hi. I just wanted to say I consider celebrating others my strength. I've been quoted to have lifted people's hang-ups and inspired people and whatnot, but my worry is because I have no idea how to celebrate myself. I'm not empowering others to celebrate themselves. So I can do it for them.
I can cheer them on. They can feel wonderful coming out of conversation with me, but I'm not necessarily able, I don't think, to teach them how to do it for themselves because that's not my practice in my family. Similar to some people that have mentioned this, it's like, you don't get celebrated. You doing well is a norm. And every tiny thing that is not perfect is what gets discussed. So
That's never fun to see, but I'm glad it's coming through and stuff for you to lean into. It sounds like, you know, new places for you to explore, which I'm happy about. And also, you don't remember, we're not going for myth of perfection. Like, now that you're aware of it, you can already start shifting it with others, 100%. And in that video that I'll share, I'll also give some kind of little tricks to do that too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else want to share or need anything before we wrap for today? Rose.
Okay. I put my hand up and down.
I saw.
Yeah, you did. Well, you know, I just this inside job of coaching, you know, I mean, this whole, the fact that like as within, so without, you know, all the things that I hardly even realize how this work that we're doing here is impacting me until I start working on these really big things and realizing that receiving is such a huge thing for me to receive. And here I am giving to my clients, but I can feel that this it's as I mean, I've had a breakthrough in the last week or two about some, just unpacking some big personal stuff. And as I've done that, I'm able to show up much more fully for my clients. Like, I reflected some really hard truths to a client today. And, you know, that a client that's been really challenging for me for a year. And I'm telling you, I think, she's talking about re-signing for another 6 months. And I wasn't scared, but I knew I was just out of the zone we've been in. And it can only be because I am resolving and equalizing my own energy and, you know, my own self-doubt, my, you know, just stuff. And so I'm just kind of stunned at the direct translation. It's just really direct. So thank you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So well done. I'm so happy and excited to hear it on the personal for you and with your client. Beautiful.
Just things are moving. So it's very cool.
Yay. All right, my friends, I am sending you all a ton of love, celebrating all of you. I'd love to hear when you share in the Facebook group in between sessions. So please do. You've got lots of goodies coming your way from me. And I hope to see you on Thursday if you can make it. Have a wonderful rest of your day.